Hello all, welcome to yet another edition of HR Tech's Tech Talks, where we talk to HR and HR subject matter experts. In the long list of elite founders that we have met up in the past, we are extremely happy to host Pradeep Yuen, co-founder and CEO of Stories and Wisdom. Welcome to our edition of Tech Talks, Pradeep.
Thank you, Sriram. Really excited to be here.
Thank you. We go a long way back. Pradeep used to be a schoolmate of mine, but it would be great to hear from Pradeep his own introduction. Pradeep, why don't you give our viewers a 30-second quick intro about what has happened ever since we graduated from school?
Sure. We did our schooling in Chennai, and then I did my undergrad in Singapore with an engineering at Nanyang Technological University. Worked there for a bit in a software company called Computer Associates. And then when I came to the US to do my MBA at the university in Pittsburgh called Carnegie Mellon. And after finishing CMU, for most part, I've been in Seattle for almost 2 decades. And in that time frame, I've been at Microsoft for 13 years. I've been doing startups between a couple of stints. But overall, my career journey, if you want to look at it, is predominantly in technology, business strategy, marketing work, and then a lot of it in human-computer interaction and design. I'm still in Seattle and I started this new company called the Stories and Wisdom Company, and pretty excited to have a conversations about what we're doing there.
Fantastic. Truly an illustrious education and work experience background, Pradeep. Let me start off straight with the key question, which will set the course for our discussion for the next 15, 20 minutes. What do you think are the key business and talent challenges that your clients are facing at this point of time?
Yeah, let's start with the business challenges. At Microsoft, a good portion of my time was spent around leading a customer executive board. So this would be bringing in C-level customers. We're talking about CEOs of very marquee global companies that we'd bring in and have discussions about what challenges are they facing. And overall, it can be summarized to 3 things. Number one, sales. How can I actually get my team to sell more of the products that we have? And number two is actually, how can I actually increase the pace of innovation so I can create more products in my product portfolio? And the third one is really people-centric around how can I get my people, and especially my elite team, to do one of those 2 things, which is like create more products which are innovative or make sure that the sales are happening. And in that context, of course, it's easier to just say, bring it down to there's only 3 problems. The details is where things are interesting, where sales teams tend to have started increasing more and more. So at an average, it is about 7 to 10 people who are considered a sales team for one account, and they're trying to make a deal. And it's not just selling a product. It's a solution that encompasses a few products. Even on the buying side, the way companies are buying is also bringing in a buying team of about 10 to 15 people that you're trying to engage, which essentially means sales cycles are 6 to 18 months long. That is the sales challenge. Then in terms of innovation, technology is going so fast, and then we're trying to figure out how can we continue to be more productive, and more people are just trying to figure out what's coming out. And that means once you figured it out, for you to innovate on top of it is hard. And what you suddenly need is more connection across different disciplinary teams within your organization to increase the pace of innovation. So the business challenges now lead towards the talent challenges, which is number one is isolation at work that's leading to disengagement, which is the complete opposite of what is needed, which is connectivity. In fact, the US Surgeon General raised alarm about an epidemic of loneliness and isolation in the US, which came down to 1 in 2 people, so that's 50%, experienced measurable levels of loneliness. And this is in the US. Other countries, it's still pretty high as well. And a lot of this, if you bring it into the workplace, and this is the second talent challenge, is because of teams being distributed and the hybrid work environments, which are not going to change. But because of that, connection is harder. And therefore, you're trying to do the work which is getting more and more complex in terms of sales or even in terms of innovating products, that you're feeling more lonely trying to solve an increasingly complex and harder problem. And Microsoft Research came up with the Future of Work report that put 42% lower connection of colleagues in a remote environment. And then add on to that, the third talent challenge is a 5-generational workplace. They're all coming into work, and the way they interact with each other and with technology is all very different. And 76% have said, I would love technological advancements to facilitate that connection. Now, bringing it all back in, it going back towards, you need that connection in a multidisciplinary way to make sure business challenges of increasing sales and having more innovation happen. And the talent challenges come down to, let me reduce isolation and loneliness to make sure that these connection points across multidisciplinary teams are happening.
Fantastic. You truly hit the nail right on its head when you said the sales cycles were getting longer, both from a product and a services perspective. So we need to sell more in a more effective manner. And then you earlier we used to say pre-internet, post-internet, now probably it's pre-ChatGPT and post-ChatGPT. So the innovation pace has truly got redefined. So companies really need to relook at how they innovate. Talent challenges, I completely resonate with you, right? The next global pandemic is going to be mental health, right? Mental health arising out of medical quarantine, isolation, remote work, and all of those, right? Coupled with 5 generations in the workforce is the biggest challenge, right? When you create a new process, a system, or a product in an organization, how do you ensure you cater to all the 5 generations in the workforce, right? And not just to a Gen Z or a millennial. So I think you've really articulated well the challenges that your clients are facing. And that's a great segue to the next question, Pradeep. So what is the problem that you're trying to solve with Stories and Wisdom? And what do you think are your product's key USP and differentiator?
Yeah, so we're bringing in a way to increase team cohesiveness and ability to actually for teams to connect regardless of where they are at. And by doing that, increase a sense of belonging. In fact, organizational belonging. And that's what we're trying to do in a hybrid work environment. And when it's organizational belonging, it's very hard to maintain that in a constant state of chaos, whether it is coming from changing strategy, reorganization, or new technology coming in, a socio-political environment. But there, despite all of that, if you have a sense of, I still belong in this team, I still belong with this org, and I'm going to work with each other to make sure that we can come out of their chaos, that will help you innovate better. That will help you actually understand customer needs better and therefore sell your solutions better so that your sales cycles can decrease. We actually go down to, let's solve for team cohesiveness. And a Deloitte Human Capital Trends report actually agreed that sense of belonging drives organizational performance. And they came up with a number which was 93%. Those, as we know, like 93% is something my mom would be happy with for a science report in India. Like that's ridiculous. Like how do you get 93% of people to agree on anything? We don't have that much number for agreeing on something as simple as climate change happening. And so 93% agreed that a sense of belonging drives organizational performance. And for product USP, the way we are approaching this is through a neuroscience-backed approach across storytelling, gamification, and social learning. Because if you just go ahead and then say, hey, come together, guys, let's actually start to do organizational belonging and do a team cohesiveness report engagement from HR, the business people will literally tell you, like, I don't have time to do my own sales. Why are you wasting my time doing this team building exercises? I need to make my numbers. So you need to not push down content. You have to have a pull. And for that, we meant like they have, and these are the same people who don't have time to do the sales, who binge watch really good content. If Game of Thrones came in, these are the salespeople who didn't have time. They would be binge watching and then talking about, I was part of this and I would see these conversations. Or they binge watch Breaking Bad or something that are newer that you start binge watching on. So the point is about how do you engage them with a solid foundation, and we went to that's good storytelling, gamification concepts, but at the same time enabling social learning, which is learning from each other through connections. Now the story here is not going to be about dragons like Game of Thrones or about meth labs. like in Breaking Bad, it's going to be about the strategy of the company. It's about the strategy and needs of the customer. So that is the customization that we would do for a company across industries and use cases. So it makes sense for your company. It makes sense for that time. And that is our key differentiator. The way in which we are going to be bringing in a digital ubiquity of customization for any company, industry, and use, so that your people in that time frame can now have conversations amongst themselves and connect and share things about how did I sell at insurance company A is quite different how my colleague will say to insurance company B, even though my products are the same. You would expect the same marketing reports to be used and sales documents to be shared, yet the sales process would have been quite different because that's just how it happens. You're working with different individuals, different teams, and they come up with different backgrounds. And that organizational learning is usually lost because all we care about are the numbers. But if you start having that kind of organizational learning, suddenly you start realizing that you can bring on new people, even if you lose somebody else, or if a new customer comes in with a new set of needs, this team can still engage with that and then they can work around the chaos. So that's how we are solving for the problems with our USP and a key differentiator.
Fantastic. Truly, that number was really startling, right? 93% of having a sense of belonging truly drives our performance. So Stories and Wisdom, I have seen the demo, Pradeep. I think it's a winner right from the word go when you have neuroscience-backed approach plus a gamification plus a team building aspect built into it. I think the biggest differentiator is definitely the insights, the wisdom that you get from playing on Stories and Wisdom. Number two, anything from HR, if it is not in the flow of work, it's not going to be absorbed by the business, right? What Stories and Wisdom does is actually it's in the flow of work, right? Find it in the flow of work because it's more gamified and has an intuitive approach to the entire thing. From my perspective, those two are two differentiators for Stories and Wisdom, Pradeep.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for bringing that up, because the strategy alignment and then holding each other accountable for a culture of connection and having a growth mindset, that's how the stories part of the platform engages. But the real part when you get to, okay, now what? Now what can I do? Now what can I do as a systemic change in terms of changing policy, strategy, or figuring out what's the new product do we do, or change some sales mechanics so that we can be more productive? That's the wisdom side of the platform. So on one end, you're making sure that your employees and teams and organizations around the world are engaging, but then you want to make sure that your regional HQs and regional teams can make the decisions, and also the world HQ can start making some policy changes that are very current. I remember at Microsoft when that was a time when we would launch products every 3-4 years, like Windows, or here's a new Office. Now, when you think about that, it just feels so archaic because features are created every week and then there's no official launch, but you actually announce stuff. So that agile way to pivot to meet the customer need, we don't do that in sales organizations or product organizations because the new sales quota is set up at the end of the year for the new one, and suddenly there's a reorg right before it, and then there's a cascading effect. So for a whole quarter, you're figuring out, what do you do now? What is your quota? What am I trying to do? Do I have it in the same list? I think we could be more agile, and that comes from more connection and conversations. And that's where the wisdom and the stories platform go hand in hand. One is very agile. The other one is, okay, let's aggregate this and give information in a real-time manner using analytics and AI on top of the storytelling, gamification, and social learning part.
Fantastic. We saw a lot of products that came up during the pandemic, and then they have a downfall when things have started going back to office. Now, what I wanted to ask you is, what do you think are the key trends that you are witnessing in the workplace that will ensure that Stories and Wisdom will continue to be a game changer?
Yeah, so there's a few trends that we're seeing. One is distributed teams. A single team is now across geographies that came out through the pandemic significantly more. Now suddenly you're like, okay, they don't have to be, you don't have to move over here. So that's across time zones that you're starting to see. But there's also distributed teams in terms of disciplines that are starting to come in, because now you realize a sales team with certain technologies, and you already mentioned ChatGPT, you can get your marketing content as a salesperson and customize, which previously you had to wait and do that. So your team's distribution is getting rapidly reorganized. So that's a massive trend that's never happened before. Then the hybrid work environment, I don't think all of them are going to come back to work. We have been very clear in terms of the efficiencies we are seeing for us as a whole person. Like, why do I have to sit in traffic for 40 minutes per day? That's 1.5 hours of my life per day wasted. And across genders and across age groups, the way people want to give their time to the company and come back, that has shifted in a way where I don't think it's coming back. So we have to embrace the hybrid work environment. But as a result of doing that, again, 42% report lower connection to colleagues. So on one end, you're optimizing for yourself, but on the other end, you in certain scenarios might have not optimized for the company. Then you go start going with, what's my trade-off? How does my social contract with the company? Am I okay with it or not? So that's not going away. And again, that's a HR mental health discussion that we have to sit in front, and HR tech comes to bring that. And the third one I would say is of course, AI making an accelerated disruption at the workplace. Now, all of these, when you're actually working through it, it comes down to, how do I connect with these teams? How do I get the data and insights coming out of what do they need? How can I, as a leader, make any changes with the variables that I have to make sure that my team can, going back to the three first things, which is make my sales of the current products faster, make my sales team more nimbler, and so that they can reach more accounts, or decrease my sales cycles for, or having bigger deals. So how can I make my sales team for more productive? How can I build and innovate more and faster than my competition and increase my portfolio so that salespeople can sell more? And the third one is, how do I make sure that my team is balancing their life? And there is a level of cohesiveness and connection to all of that, along with summary and analytics, which we are leveraging to bring that in. So I actually see these trends helping the adoption of stories and wisdom.
Fantastic. Definitely people miss the water cooler conversations, right? So distributed teams, hybrid work, and the accelerating disruption created by AI are definitely trends which I'm sure will also accelerate the adoption of stories and wisdom in the workplace. The key question then is, right, how do you convince your client HR teams to get leadership buy-in for this? Because whenever we have talked to CHROs, we realize they do not get a leadership buy-in for investment in talent engagement, employee engagement related products and services.
Yes, absolutely. And this is coming from my background on having worked with C-level executives. And if you went and told them, I want to engage my employees, I want to increase retention and all of it, they'd be like, go for it, make it happen. They won't say no. But if you said, I want to double my budget to do that, the answer is a very clear and definitive no. So if you went about describing that, it's not going to happen. However, if you actually said, hey, how about I increase your innovation 3 times? Can you increase my budget by 30%? The answer is yes. You don't even have to go anywhere on how. You just said that, you're going to get that. And we actually see that when we use ways to connect multidisciplinary teams, the increasing innovation happens 3 times because of denser internal networks. So that now you're actually talking, because I care about your narrative, I now can make sure that anything that you're saying, I will listen a little bit better, or understand your context a little bit better from where you're coming. But the even bigger way in which you can have your HR teams have the leaders stop and then throw money at you is to say, I will increase your sales team productivity. And I'm telling, like, you increase sales team productivity by 33%. And increase your sales job performance by 56%. And how? Systematic knowledge transfer. When somebody who was actually, for example, somebody who was servicing, let's say, Allstate and selling solutions to Allstate as an account, is now given 4. Why? Because this is Ford is a bigger, I'm making these names up just to make a point. Now they're working on Ford because, you know, they graduated to a bigger account, or they moved to Detroit area from New York area. And then that's why they got their local account. Now, in that case, what just happened? All of the institutional knowledge that person grew in that region for that account is lost. But does it have to be lost? The new person who's going to take that account, can they have some level of better transfer than what's going on now? And suddenly you start reading, like, that's the systemic knowledge transfer, where if people move or accounts change, which happens a lot consistently, you can just say, I'll make sure that team productivity is going to increase compared to before, or I can increase the job performance compared to before. That will get you budgets. Now, of course, if you say, if the executive asks you, how are you going to do that? Which they will, but then you already have got their buy-in before that, which was your question, like, how do you get your leadership buy-in? You just go with the numbers they care about, which is sales and innovation in that order. Then you start going with, I'll help with knowledge transfer, and I want to make sure they get the context. Tell me the stories related to Allstate in this situation, in this other situation. So now you have an understanding of the customer teams, customer needs, problem context, which is way beyond what the CRM system can give you for Allstate, because there you'll have the problem needs, but you don't have the actual narratives and stories. So what we're doing is building that level of data through our Wisdom platform, through stories that's coming in, which can augment information that you already have with the CRM solution. Those are the two big things that you'll get to. And the third one is really about going back and making sure that and this is tied back to innovation, is your engineering creator and designers who create those products, they can start to do more innovative products because they're picking up new skills. And that happens through peer-to-peer learning, because everybody's cutting edge, which means they're taking a risk. They don't know if that is the new technology. And that means if they're taking some risk, they're not going to share it upfront with another person till they know it is something that is valuable to share. Whereas if you're going for learning through an LMS platform, that is of technologies that's already mainstream, and now you have a curriculum, and then now you're saying, here's how you should learn for module 1. Whereas what you need for really cutting edge stuff is making sure that your connections between your creators, engineer, developer, designers, are getting more denser so that they can share more. And while they're trying to figure out what's new, they might create something new. That I do believe we can get down to. So those are the first cases, like speaking their KPI. That's the number way to get leadership buy-in. Then when they start asking the how, it's about stakeholder alignment. And we do that with workshops. And we also do strategy alignment with customization of the editions, so that the story is connected to your organization, with using your vernacular, using your product and customer needs in your space. And suddenly it's not a generic thing, it's an actual solution that we are actually helping with.
So that's a great narrative for HR teams to actually adopt, right? Rather than the usual approach of saying, hey, we want to do employee engagement. Instead, they just have to focus on more on the outcome, which is all about increasing innovation, increasing the organization, team productivity, increasing sales, peer-to-peer knowledge transfer. I think the stakeholder alignment, essentially to understand what the stakeholder wants and providing them that, I think is a great way for HR teams to actually get the leadership buy-in. That's really good inputs.
So, yeah, actually, there's an interesting way to actually make this all come through, which is, if let's say we went to Singapore and then we started speaking Hindi to the first person we met there, because that's national language to us, we understand, we go there. We're going to get big eye stares. Nobody's going to understand what they're saying. Instead, if we started speaking Hokkien or Singlish, then you'd be like, oh, you're one of us, and you'll start engaged. It's the same thing. HR has to speak the language of the executives, which is business terms. Not force down, like, hey, here's a new language. You should learn this and care about it and throw money my way. That's not going to happen. You got to speak their language.
Interesting. You've been right through your Microsoft days and your current entrepreneurial stint. Yeah. You've been working with enterprises of all sizes, right? So this is going to be the final question, Pradeep. And what advice would you give to the enterprises who are actually getting started on their digital HR journey?
we've gone down this path already. So that will be my number one, which is understand the leadership team, your leadership team and their goals. Like that's top down, understand that very clearly. And they can shift depending on the stage the company is at and also the geopolitical situation that they are currently in. In certain cases, it's all about sales. We're not trying to increase our product portfolio. We just have to close deals and then make our numbers. So they might be in like that kind of a sales narrative, or in some cases, it'll be like it's innovation because I think our sales is fine, but then we need to make sure that we are constantly competitive. Or they might want to make sure that like, I want to retain my talent. And usually it's all of it, but then there's a focus on one more than the other, depending on the time. So you have to understand and be in tune with that for sure. Then comes understanding your employee needs. Now, I'll deviate a little bit to share some research that Microsoft, when I was part of Microsoft, we actually did to understand how organizational transformation helps teams which interact. So meaning we studied a lot of companies, and this is research is actually published already because it's been multiple years old, and then it came from Microsoft Research, to see that teams are in either one of four states. There are teams which are in a do state, which is very operational. Like they are aligning to deliver progress or they're doing. Sales teams tend to be in a lot of do state. They're always doing. Then there are think states, which are conceptual interactions, and then they bring ideas to a vision. Marketing teams as a discipline tends to be in a think state and handing over to the do state, which is sales, and then they work together. Then there are two other states of teams that or team interactions that were found. One was steering. And this is in more and more distributed, less hierarchical teams where, and also in where you want to make sure that the geographically located teams are engaging with their customers in slightly different way, but relevant to that region, that you let them steer themselves. They're not going to be like looking towards an organizational direction. They can steer themselves once you've given them some values. So the ability for autonomy, but to steer focus towards achieving common goals. Similar to also technology and design teams where you want to let them to steer, but you have a common goal. But to enable all of these, that steering to happen, you should have created some bonding. That is about relational interactions. So even if you suddenly went, okay, here is a new technology that makes whatever we built obsolete, can this same set of individuals stem the ride and then leverage the new technology or leapfrog and then create something new? Or is it time to fold and then start a new, completely new thing? And the answer is if the team is bonded enough, they can steer, think, and do. But if it's not bonded, when the next wave comes of chaos, next wave of chaos comes through, then they're like, I can only think and do, or I can only do, and this is different. I don't really care. I need to find another job or anything else. So that resilience coming from a growth mindset and being connected leads us to like, how do we enable these kind of states where the teams feel like, okay, now let's actually focus on bonding so that we can steer. Let's now steer to engage. And it's not like only sales teams always do. Like they need to be bonded so that you can tackle complex multi-month sales cycles. So this is what we've learned.
Great insights, Pradeep. Let me try to quickly summarize whatever we discussed, right? The current challenges that the business teams are facing is how do we sell more? How do we increase our organizational effectiveness and productivity? How do we increase our innovation quotient? And how do we address the talent challenges, especially when we have a hybrid and distributed team at work, and more so we have five generations at work. And that's where you have stories and wisdom, which essentially helps in connecting multiple disciplinary teams, bringing the team cohesiveness, the necessary bonding, which actually helps in driving more productivity and effectiveness and innovation in the organization. And most importantly, the sense of belonging, which truly accelerates productivity and innovation, is all the more enhanced by adopting your product, which is neuroscience-backed, gamified, and focuses on team building. Especially with distributed teams, hybrid work, and AI accelerating disruption, you strongly feel that stories and wisdom adoption is definitely bound to go up. And what I really liked is stakeholder alignment for HR teams in articulating the value to the business, right? Rather than trying to tell them what they need to do, understand what they really want, and providing that through articulated value proposition is going to help them get the leadership buy-in, definitely. Thank you very much, Pradeep. This was really a good discussion, especially our first Tech Talks of 2024. I'm sure you've set the pace for the rest of the season's editions. Thank you very much for joining in, Pradeep.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Really excited to share what we're doing at Stories and Wisdom with you.